Well, this is a little bit impromptu, although I have prepared a message, but it's not completed, but apparently it is completed. For those of you that may have come in late, Wanda passed away this morning. And I have had my own relationship with Wanda, as each of you has. I've known Wanda for 39 years, and she was my fourth grade teacher. When we moved to Thousand Oaks, I went to half a third grade here, and then she was my fourth grade teacher for the whole year at University Elementary, which is, you know, a stone's throw from here. And I've known her boys since they were, you know, little guys. And she's had a special place in my heart, and I always brag, you know, that my fourth grade teacher goes to my church, and that's kind of cool. And so she's had a special place in my heart. And, you know, when Ted said that she passed away, I don't know. There's a time for all things. And, you know, right now is the time for her to die. And I just kind of rejoiced in it. I got a smile on my face. I mean, she's with Jesus. And she couldn't breathe. And that's pretty uncomfortable to not be able to breathe. And so she doesn't have that anymore. She's breathing just fine right now. And someday we'll all, you know, get together. So that'll be cool. Yeah. 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 So anyway, I just like that. So you might not recall this, but the last two times that I've shared on Philippians. And the reason I've shared on Philippians is because it's a love letter. And, you know, there's different ways you can read your Bible. You can read it all the way through. You can read it word by word. I was taught by a guy named Raul Ries that you should read letters as a letter. Sounds kind of simple, right? But Philippians was a letter. And so when you read a letter, you usually don't read the first page and then put it down and next week read the second page. And so you should read the letter, which is, you know, four chapters here. If you read the whole letter as a love letter, you get a really cool feeling about how Paul felt about these people. And one of the things that Paul did with every church that he wrote to is he invested in them. And what I mean is, if you go to work or you go to school or whatever it is that you do in life and you say hi to Jim, hey Jim, what's up? That's one thing. And then if you say, you know, Jim, I really want you to know Jesus, but Jim doesn't know you, then, you know, that's cool that you said that, but that doesn't really help. But what if you went and you lived with Jim and you ate with Jim and you worked next to Jim for 2 years? And then you said, Jim, I love you and I want you to know Jesus. Well, that's a different perspective. And that's what happened with the book of Philippians. That Paul is saying to these people, I love you and I care about you. But he lived with them for a couple of years. So I'm going to go ahead and read chapter 3 to you because I think it's good. I really think it's good that we read the scripture here together. And so finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Amen. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. All right. So what I want to do is I want to focus on the first seven verses of Philippians chapter 3. And finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is of no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. So Paul is encouraging others to be joyful. And I would like to take the opportunity this morning to encourage you guys to be joyful. When you come to worship the King of all creation, the God who created the heavens and the earth, it's okay to have a little life in you. It would be okay. In fact, all right, let's just do it. Everybody, can you please stand up? All right. I would like everybody here to make a joyful noise to the Lord for just a couple seconds. Okay, go ahead. Okay. Stay standing, Noah, for one more minute. Whoever. Moms can do what they want. I would like everybody to dance for 2 seconds. Do two steps. I know you can all dance. There you go. That's good. That's good. So dance to the Lord. Okay. All right. Thank you. Class participation. So you guys can sit down. You can keep going. That's good. You got it going. All right. All right. So thanks, Mike. I always have to be. You can stay standing too. So what I want you to know is that Paul is in prison writing this letter. Okay? So I know that we all have circumstances in our lives. And those circumstances tend to weigh us down. And life is hard. There's things that we have. You know, we have teenage kids. We have kids in their 20s, kids in their 30s, kids in their 40s. We have kids that are 1, 3, and 5. Kids that are about to have a birthday on the 19th. You know, we have things, issues in our lives that weigh us down. Some of us are just about to deliver. Yeah. And they're on our mind. But that doesn't mean we can't rejoice in the Lord. Paul doesn't say rejoice just by itself. He says rejoice in the Lord. And if we were to focus our lives on Christ, focus our hearts on Christ and who he is and what he's done for us, then we would realize we have something to rejoice about. And we would be a little more alive as we come to worship. We would rejoice in the Lord. And you've heard all this before. And that's okay, because to remind you of it is no trouble to me, which is what Paul says. It's okay. And you know why? It's a safeguard for you, because we should do this. So if Paul can rejoice in the Lord under the circumstances that he's in, and we've had, Sandy and I and the boys got a chance to go to Italy. We didn't get a chance to go there, but I guess in Rome you can go to the place where Paul was imprisoned. And nobody goes there, apparently. It's not like a big popular tourist place, but you can get there. If you know the right people, you can ask, and you can go down and creep through this little dust, you know, musky area, and it's real moist, and it's down below the street, but you can see up to the street level, and you can see where he stayed when he was in prison. It wasn't a nice place, but he's encouraging others to be joyful. And just remember that our joy exists in the Lord, and it's unrelated to the circumstances of life. It's related to the unassailable, unchanging relationship that we have to the sovereign Lord. So I would propose to you also that reviewing instructions is not a bad thing. And having given instructions at work, having given instructions as a teacher, it's important that we review them. And so that's what we're doing here. We need it because we might not have heard it the first time, because we don't always listen. We need it because we might not remember hearing it. How many times have you said, well, I don't recall you saying that? And it's because you didn't listen. And then it also might just be that we didn't take it seriously. Yeah, I heard you. You know, I gotcha. Or we might just buzz over it. You know, you read it, you've read it 1,000 times. Certain verses in the Bible you know by rote because, you know, you know, we've said them. And we might not have understood the importance or the significance. We might not have pondered the point. It's a safeguard to protect you from false teachers, too. One of the things that is near and dear to my heart is our children. And if you haven't noticed, the world is full of false teachers. If you go to first, second, third grade, if you go to high school, if you go to college, there's all sorts of false teaching out there. And we need to protect our kids from it. And we need to protect ourselves from it. You know, I don't think we're necessarily called to ignore newspapers, magazines, and television. But if you're exposed to it at all, you're exposed to the influence of this world, which is not truthful. It's false. And we need to teach our kids what is truth. And we need to remind ourselves what is the truth. And we need to cling to that truth. Now, verse 2 is tough. It says, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision. And then verse 3, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. So during the first century, dogs roamed the street, and they were wild scavengers, and they were filthy animals. And the Jews used to refer to the Gentiles as dogs. You know, don't associate with the Gentiles, don't associate with the dogs. So what is Paul saying? Paul is calling the Jews dogs. He's referring to the Judaizers as dogs. The Judaizers were the Christians who were Jewish, who were trying to get the new Christians to become Jewish and stay under the law. So it sounds kind of drastic. Why is he calling them dogs? I mean, he's pretty brutal. Well, he's describing them as dogs because they're sinful, they're vicious, and they're out of control. Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to take that free gift that Christ gave us in salvation and add something to it, which you're not allowed to do. You can't say, well, to have Christ and to have salvation, you need to do this too. It's a free gift. And anybody that adds to it is very evil. Paul is pointing out that there are evil workers and false circumcision who consider themselves to be workers of righteousness. And we see this all around us. I see people that are really trying to do good things in the world. Now, they're not necessarily doing them for God. They're not doing them because God told them to do them. They're just doing them because they're good, and they're looking for their own reward. We believe that we are saved by grace, that Jesus' death on the cross is sufficient to save us, and we have faith in Jesus, and salvation's a free gift. We cannot please God by our efforts. We are not to try to draw attention away from Christ's redemption. So whenever we do something good for the kingdom of God, our heart has to be in that place where we're trying to give God the glory and not trying to give Kip the glory, not trying to give Teresa the glory or somebody else the glory, because that's drawing away from Christ and that's sinful. We're to point the way to Him. Interesting, I'm not a Greek scholar or anything, but the word circumcision means to cut around. And the word that's used here, the false circumcision, is a different Greek word that means to cut down, to cut off, or to mutilate. So the Judaizer Christian